hip, hip to this timely tip.
We're live from Sanderson Ford in Glendale for their 66th anniversary celebration.
Get your kicks during
Rosie on the House.
And we are, and there's already people showing up. And Sanderson Ford said yesterday they are absolutely inundated with phone calls from people asking about today's event. Sanderson Ford, 51st Avenue in Glendale, just south of Glendale. We've got coffee and donuts for the early birds that are here. We have a special staycation giveaway. There are three staycation baskets we have. All Arizona products. Signed books by Roger Naylor. We have, I should get Carol because she has spent a ton of time getting all the details for the books put together. And we have, we'll get a dial-in on those, but we also have a special promotion for our newsletter subscribers that the entry that we have will give away a staycation per hour, and you have to come on site to register to win one of these, and subscribers to our newsletter had another opportunity to enter to win. If you just bring your newsletter in and bring the PDF link that we had sent in that newsletter, there'll be a special drawing just of newsletter subscribers for the gift baskets, increasing your odds of winning. And one of the three gift baskets are going to have a key to the Mustang that you'll be, that will start the Mustang you'll get to take on the staycation. So one of the baskets will have the key for this month's staycation winner. But you have to be here at Sanderson Ford, 6400 North 51st Avenue in Glendale. And we've got an all-star lineup of guests will be joining us today, sharing their Route 66 Sanderson Ford memories. Mike Broomhead, Tim Hattrick, Al McCoy, Luis Gonzalez will all be making a debut here during the program. So if you're out and about, come on by. And a little bit later, there will be serving lunch. And shortly, in about an hour, the Arizona Wildflowers will be here performing their music live. They were here at the Hootenanny sale 2 years ago and were requested to be repeat guests by popular demand. So we look forward to having a great day and sharing a lot of great information with you, the Arizona homeowners. It is the 8 o'clock hour, fourth Saturday of the month. So we are with Farmer Greg, who's got a special guest in studio with him, Kari Spencer. And we're talking about preserving the harvest today because we are going right into the key time for fruit. And I've got peaches, I've got apples, I've got all my canning stuff ready. Farmer Greg, talk us through the details.
Oh my gosh. First of all, thanks for having us. And I'm here with Kari Spencer. Thanks, Kari.
Hi.
Wow. Yeah, you sent us pictures yesterday of your apples and peaches coming on, man. That looked great.
You like those?
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know, the desert gold peach, that's the peach you sent me a picture of. That tree makes an obscene amount of fruit. It's every year I get hundreds of pounds of peaches off of this 8-foot-tall, 9-foot-tall tree, and it's just amazing what it does.
I have two of those peach trees, and they're both about 5 years old, and they both came from the pop-up nursery.
Well, thank you. The pop-up nursery is the Urban Farms fruit tree education program that we do every year, so thanks for that shout-out, Romy.
Well, thank you. And what am I going to do with all these? Because there's no way
right.
I'm going to be able to eat all these before the birds get them all.
Yeah, so that's the problem. And Kari talks a lot about that.
Yeah, once those peaches and nectarines and apricots are ripe, you got to do something with them, right? And there's so many, you can't just eat them. Yeah, there's a number of ways that you can preserve those. We're going to talk about a few of those today. And I think, Greg, we're going to start with canning.
Sure. Well, actually, let's step back a little bit from canning. And if you don't want to can and you just have the peaches, one of the things that I do is actually cut them in half, put them on a cookie tray in the freezer and freeze them and then stick them in a jar. That way they're great for all year for smoothies and jams and stuff like that. So that's the easiest thing to do with them.
It sure is. It's very, very easy, but it takes up some space in your freezer.
It does.
Whereas canning, you don't have to put it in your freezer or your fridge. You can just put it on your pantry shelves.
Right. So really, we're not talking about canning here. We're talking about jarring, right?
Well, yeah, but it's jarring. We're not putting anything in metal cans, no. No, but there are two ways that you can can. And, there's benefits and drawbacks to each of them. And there's things that you can can one way and not the other way. So the two types of canning are pressure canning, which you have to have some special equipment for, and water bath canning, which is really a lot easier and takes a little less specialized equipment. It's really easy to can, but you have to know what to can and when. Okay, so.
So it's a two-step process.
It is.
You actually have the recipe that you make up, and then you put them in jars and seal the jars. That's the canning process, is where you actually heat the jars up to kill all the microbes, any bad stuff or good stuff, any bad stuff in there, and then let them cool off and they seal, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, so you can things that are high in acid in a pressure canner, in a water bath canner. And those are things like if you were going to do some lemon curd or maybe a orange marmalade.
Tomatoes?
Tomatoes are kind of borderline, right?
Oh, really?
So we do add acid to our tomatoes, a little bit of vinegar or lemon juice to just raise the acid level when we're canning them. Yeah. But other things that are low in acid, like vegetables, need to go in a pressure canner because a water bath canner does not get hot enough to kill all of the botulism spores that might be in there.
That's very interesting. I'd never heard that before, Kari. And we have done a number of canning and always wondered why vegetables never lasted as good as the peaches or okra that we canned.
Yeah.
You can okra?
We do.
How cool is that?
We've got an old family Louisiana recipe. Okra, jicama, celery, carrots, and you just open it during the heat of the summer and just suck on it, and it's got you do it with a little vinegar, and man, it's a great afternoon snack.
That sounds great. I love pickled okra. I love that. Yeah, so I guess
the benefit to canning is you can get canning equipment virtually anywhere.
Right.
Grocery stores, Fry's, Safeway, Walmart, Target, they all have canning equipment. The pressure cookers, that's a little bit more specialized, like you were saying.
Yeah, but you can get those pretty much anywhere at any big box store or at, they're all over the place. They're just a little bit more expensive.
So what? Yeah, and what a pressure canner does is?
It seals and raises the temperature really high, so high that the canner will actually lock so that you can't open it until it cools down at the end of the process. Right. So, but they're great to have for canning all kinds of things that you can't do in a water bath canner.
Yeah,
and if you want to know which to put in a water bath or which to put in a pressure canner, you can go look at the current USDA guidelines on canning, which are at the National Center for Home Food Preservation, and that is at nchfp.uga.edu. And they have lots of recipes there that you can use, and they give a lot of information that will tell you exactly how to can safely and deliciously.
And there is a little bit of an issue with the older books, the older canning books,
right? Yeah, I love old recipes, and I have a bunch of vintage cookbooks that have absolutely fantastic canning recipes, but you're going to want to compare those with the current USDA guidelines, because you might need to change the cooking time. You might need to add some acid. You just need to bring them up to the standards that were raised after 1987, and those are all at that National Center for Home Food Preservation website.
So the question is, what can we can right now?
We can. Right now, right now, tomatoes. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's so many things you can do with tomatoes. You can just can the tomatoes so you have stewed tomatoes, or you can make sauce out of them. You can make ketchup. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do with tomatoes.
Yeah, I had a picture from one of our followers recently showing me literally baskets full of tomatoes. He said, this isn't all of the tomatoes I have right now. I don't know what to do with them all.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, well, can them.
Right.
Can them, because it's so great to have spaghetti sauce.
Yes.
In the pantry all year long.
Well, you know, the other thing that it does is that we use jars that we reuse. Mm-hmm. So there's no longer going to the store and buying a plastic jar or a glass jar, using it and then, you know, putting it in the recycle or the trash. So that helps as well.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's an expense to buy those jars the first time, but mm-hmm. then you use them over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. I have some that I've been using for decades.
I have some that my grandparents used.
Oh, nice. Oh, there is one uh-huh. key piece that you have to pay attention to. The mm-hmm. colored jars, mm-hmm. you can't use those anymore.
That's right. The blue jars, or sometimes they're purple, you don't want to use them if they are actually vintage. Now, they make some new ones now
yeah.
that are, they don't contain, I think it's lead that might be in them.
Probably.
Yeah, but if you have the old colored jars, then just use them for decor.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So right now we've got peaches, like so many peaches I don't know what to do with. We just finished with apricots. The apples for applesauce are coming up in about 30 days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that applesauce is one of my favorite things to make.
Yeah. 'Cause
my kids ate it like crazy when they were kids, and now my granddaughter does. So,
right.
Yeah, and I can make it at home and make it all different ways, and it's delicious.
Yeah, and my sweetheart Heidi uses it instead of butter in recipes, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah, or oil. You can replace
yeah.
oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it and it lasts. That's the thing about jarring or canning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it lasts.
Yeah, and you know what? We're at Sanderson Ford. We're trying to get a hold of John Pratt here because we got a 2-minute live spots coming up. So we're 60 seconds away, and then we're coming back.
Let's do it.
Urban Farm. I love it.